Hello, my name is Robert Rickover. I'm an Alexander Technique teacher in Omaha, Nebraska, and my guest today is Imogen Ragone, an Alexander Technique teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. We both teach a lot online. I believe you're still teaching quite a bit online.
Yeah, that more than in person, but I do
Oh,
both.
yeah. And we're going to talk today about a new Alexander Technique direction. And this talk will be in two parts. The first part will discuss the direction, how to use it, what our experiences with it have been. And that may be all that some people want to listen to, go out and explore it and see what happens. But we're going to also is also going to be a second part where we're going to discuss some much broader implications of this direction than are obvious. So that's kind of the format. And
Okay.
we'll start with part one right now. And I guess I'll spill the beans and say what that direction is. And it is, I'm not thinking. I'm not thinking. Now, I've asked Imogen to do a little exploring with this on her own, and she I would like her to say a little bit about her experiences, and I'll say a little bit, and then that'll sort of be the first part of this thing. We'll also explain a little what that actually means when you say I'm not thinking. So, Imogen, what have you experienced using that thought, that direction?
I enjoy the kind of paradoxical nature of it. But when I, most of the time, each moment is unique, but most of the time when I lightly think that thought to myself, I'm not thinking. I experience the kind of moment of what I would call relief, and relief is really a letting go of some excess tension that maybe I didn't know, or maybe I did know that I was holding on to. So I've enjoyed it. I've experimented it with it in kind of stillness. Sitting, lying down in constructive rest, lying down in bed, but also when I've been walking and doing other activities, and I think I like it in stillness better, but I'm not 100% on that. The other way I remember that I'd used it, I actually played with this idea a little bit in the past, but as a sort of add on to other directions, to help me not then go into, oh, what's happening, what's noticing, checking what's, so whatever that direction is, whether it's classic or something just simple like I'm free that we use, then I'm free, I'm not, then kind of I'm not thinking as a little add on. So that's another way. I only remembered that this morning that I had actually done that in the past, and kind of played with that a little bit again. But yeah, so that was another way I found that kind of as an add-on direction useful. So, yeah.
Well, and you mentioned, just how paradoxical it is, because you're using your thinking to deliver a message that you're not thinking. And I would say it's the most paradoxical of all the paradoxical directions because of that.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm thinking because, like, another more simple, if you like, paradoxical direction might be like, I'm not sitting down, which you think as you perform the act of sitting, or before and during
During, yeah,
the
either
act
one.
of sitting down. And that, yeah, and that can help you let go of habitual patterns in the way that you sit down, for instance. So what is
So
it
just a brief note about
doing?
paradoxical directions in general. They're basically saying no to something you're actually doing, typically. If I'm walking, I could say I'm not walking. And the walking usually gets easier. And it's because you're not really, you're saying I'm not, when you say I'm not walking, you're really saying I'm not thinking. You're really thinking I'm not walking the way I usually do. And it's a kind of a message to your unconscious brain, find another way. And luckily for us, the way it works is it finds a better way. It does not, I've never seen it actually produce a worse outcome, which it could logically do if you say something out. So that's kind of the background of paradoxical or sometimes called negative directions or inhibitory directions. Those
But there are
kind
a particular type of
of
negative or inhibitory direction that are paradoxical, because you could
oh,
say,
there's the
I'm
other
not
kind.
tensing my neck,
I'm
and
not
that is
tensing my,
literally,
yeah, exactly. That's a negative direction, but it's not terribly paradoxical
It's
because you
not
really don't want
paradoxical.
attention. So it's in that category, but as I say, it's like really paradoxical. It's like super paradoxical. And I think that and I found my own experience.
I was curious about your experience
Yeah,
using this
my experience is
direction.
quite similar to yours, that initially I found that it was most interesting when I was doing constructive rest or lying in bed or just sitting quietly. And but I've also moved on to exploring it in activities, and it works pretty well there too. It's a really, to me, it's a very powerful direction. And what was I so it's it, if you think about it, it's kind of, if you have like a hierarchy of directions in terms of which ones have the most, are the most fundamental, and others are maybe a little more specific, I would say this one kind of wins the fundamental contest because, well, we did, we there's another direction that's a little similar called I'm not doing, which is also very powerful and very useful, but doing is
And
usually,
paradoxical
it's very
too.
paradoxical, but doing usually is a result of thinking. You know, you have a thought and then you do something. The thought might be, I want to stand up, or I want to do this or do that. So you're getting at an activity, thinking, which is pretty close to being very core in your whole being. Now, I think you could, if you're into spirituality, maybe there's a level even deeper than this, but that's not something I know enough about. Or, but just in terms of how we live our lives on a day-to-day basis, I would say thinking is kind of the root of pretty much everything, right?
I think,
I
therefore, I
think
am.
so. I think therefore I
I
am. So
don't, there's problems with that, but yes.
So I see this really as a kind of a quality control direction. It's saying, I'm not thinking. Well, there are many, many things you might be thinking, and some of them might be really good things. And if you say, I'm not thinking, you know, that they won't be affected. Your unconscious mind knows which ones are good and which ones aren't. And but on the other hand, if you're like sort of daydreaming or mind wandering, and you're wasting a lot of mental energy on things that don't matter, those would be some of the first to be, hey, maybe your unconscious will say that, let's not do that. We're going to go right
It's
to
all the kind of the
abstraction.
worrying and the
Yeah.
loops that we can go through.
So, yeah. So, like any Alexander direction of any kind, the key is very soft delivery, no barking of orders, no pushiness, and to the extent that it's possible, no interest in the results in the moment, because they're going to suck you into a whole nother thing and take you away from the direction. So, like all directions, it has that issue about it. And
So I'm curious that what you were describing is that it could help us think in constructive ways and naturally seeing the subtract less constructive ways that we've been thinking. But I'm also curious about if it can help us having a moment of kind of emptiness
Good. Sure. Yep.
potentially, like,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and how often do we get that?
Well, for most of us, not often enough.
Not for me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's the direction. I'm not thinking, and you can we anyone interested enough to explore that but doesn't want to dive more deeply, you could leave us at that this point, although you might want to bear in mind that there's more to come, and if you are using it and find it useful, you might want to come back and learn some more about it. Okay, so now we're going to part two. All right. And when I s started experimenting with this direction, I'm not thinking, I vaguely remembered that Alexander himself, F.M. Alexander, the founder of the technique, had written some stuff about mind wandering. And I did my little I had my little PDF searchable books, and it turns out that Constructive Conscious Control, his second book, Constructive Conscious Control of the Individual is the full title, came out in the 20s, I think, 24, 25, somewhere in there.
100 years
A
ago.
hundred years ago, yeah. And some people say that he said that was his best book. I don't know whether that's true or not. It's certainly a good one. And if you do a search for mind wandering, and he hyphenates it so that would make the search better, you'll see about at least a dozen, maybe almost 20 references to it. And he keeps coming back to it. He has a whole section at the beginning. Called, let me just read this. Mind wandering recognized as a shortcoming, hyphen, its relation to self-preservation. He goes on and on about mind wandering and how awful it is. And I'd like to read a little bit of that, just a short bit. But if you're interested, go to CCC and read the whole thing. It's pretty powerful stuff. He says the shortcoming to which the individual will awaken will be one which interferes with his immediate activities outside himself. In reading, for example, or when he's attempting to learn something or to learn to do something. And as a matter of fact, the shortcoming that's been recognized as interfering more than any other in this connection is the shortcoming concerned with his inability, as he would put it, to quote, keep his mind, unquote, on the particular work with which he is immediately engaged. In other words, the shortcoming, which is commonly known as mind wandering. And then he goes on about this for a
I'm
few.
just, if I can just interrupt for a second, the way he uses the term mind wandering seems more akin to how we use the word distraction or being distracted these days. And I must admit, I have a more positive view of mind wandering than he does, but I think he's talking about what I think of as distraction when we're getting distracted.
He's talking about something that other people have talked about, and I'd like to give one example from a totally different field. This is a book called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, who's kind of a metaphysical type guru of sorts. I don't know a lot about him, but he writes, not to be able to stop thinking is a dreadful affliction. But we don't realize this because almost everybody is suffering from it. So it is considered normal. The incessant mental noise prevents you from finding that realm of inner stillness that is inseparable from being. It also creates a false mind-made self that creates a shadow of fear and suffering. And he goes on and talks about this a lot. Alexander, after he talks about mind wandering, or in the process of talking about mind wandering, sees mind wandering as the direct cause of concentration. And in the Alexander world, concentration's not a good word, right? Concentration usually means a kind of compressing of yourself, a compressing of your thinking, holding on to something. He says, well, mind wandering leads to, well, I can't stop it. So what do I do? I have to really concentrate on the thing I want to concentrate on, which is, in his view, a kind of a disastrous wrong turn. It's not helping and making things worse, basically. So his whole thing is that mind wandering is the cause. He sees it that way. The cause of this dreadful affliction called trying to concentrate on things, when in fact that concentration just scrunches everything inward in you, physically and mentally. So that's why I think this direction, I'm not thinking, is so incredibly powerful, because it's getting at this very thing, which is at the root of what Alexander sees as being one of the worst, one of the most terrible things that can happen to you, start concentrating on stuff. Now, I should mention also that kind of the lady who really got paradoxical directions going was Missy Mignard, her book, right? And she has a little section about mental butterflies, she calls it. She talks about quieting your inner conversation, and she says, you have to talk to yourself and tell yourself not to talk. Now, she uses talk as kind of a synonym for think, I think, in
In
this.
this context, yes.
But once you have given yourself this brief instruction, you can be silent. Or you can also repeat the thought whenever necessary. So she was getting pretty close to this direction. I don't think she quite got there, but she was certainly on the track of it. And the other thing I would want to say about this direction is that, for example, Eckhart Tolle, who I just quoted, he's not especially interested in physical phenomena, although he is, but he's interested in how we live our lives, you know, as everything. And I think that direction I'm not thinking gets at all kinds of stuff that may not be in the official purview of the Alexander technique, but you know, someone might be, for example, I've caught myself kind of rehashing some negative experience that I had in the past that's long gone and getting into it. And then I remember, I'm not thinking. And sure enough, and I'll repeat that occasionally, sure enough, that thought doesn't have room to get there. Especially if we did an interview some time ago about how to kind of extend and amplify the power of self-direction. Do you remember that? Like
Are you
it
talking
was
about a pause or?
no more a you deliver a direction and then you ask yourself, well, what's going to come next? Actually, I think that's also in Eckhart Tolle. So it's a message I'm not thinking. What's the next thought going to be? And 9 times out of 10, the next thought's going to be the same thought. Because when you ask that question, what's the next thought? You're already saying, okay, hey, you got a choice. What are you going to think next?
So I'm feeling a little devil's
Go
advocate-ish.
for
But
it.
then you're asking, you're saying, I'm not thinking, and then
Oh,
you're saying,
yeah.
what's the next thought?
Well,
So,
I'm not thinking isn't about cessation of thinking necessarily, more
yeah, no,
often
I
than
get
not.
that, but it's also see, I don't know. I'll have to play with, I haven't played with that, so I'll
Yeah.
have to play with that. Well, I think what I've enjoyed in my experimentation so far is like a moment of a blank canvas, so to speak.
But maybe you could have a longer moment of blank canvas, or you could have a canvas that was blank, but then was open to some constructive thoughts.
And I also like that it's a kind of it's a it's an I it's a thought, a direction. What was it, the question? I wonder what my next thought is. It's
Yeah.
like you're being curious. It's just like very open.
Right.
Not like I have to know what the next thought is.
Well, not even, I wouldn't say have to, because then you're
No,
starting
I'm saying
to
that's
get in.
not that.
Not
That's
that. Oh, okay. Yeah. You're
yeah.
just a
It's
little
the opposite. It's
curious.
very open. It's very,
Maybe the thought I'm not thinking is the primary thing. And then there's a little echo of, hey, what's going to come next? And, not, and then, you know, well, I got a thought I could bring to bear. It's exactly the same one. Why not? I mean, you're going to want to generally repeat directions at some interval anyway. And this might be a nice way to extend that a bit. My experience is that only works for so long. And at some point, either it gets really boring, you don't want to keep doing this. Or at some points, sometimes, especially when I'm lying down or in constructive rest, it's getting harder and harder for me not to get sucked into what's actually going on as a result of that thought. And occasionally, and this is just my experience, I've almost had a sense that maybe I've done enough for now, because maybe I've done pretty much all that my body can integrate, that myself can integrate. And what I really need now is to just drop it and get on with other stuff for a while, but come back to it. That's just me. I don't know how others, I've just started using this with students, so I don't have a lot of I don't have a lot of feedback on that, but to me, it just seems like it could end up being the most powerful direction you can think. Maybe.
Time will tell. Yes,
Time
I
will
certainly
tell.
think it's a useful one to have in your what should we
Yeah.
call it? Your toolbox of
Toolbox of
directions.
directions, yeah.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to add to this or
Well,
question?
one thing I have noticed as I've been playing with that direction, that thought, a little bit as we've been talking about it, because especially as
Sure.
it was coming up, you know.
Yeah.
And I noticed it helped me not be planning way ahead.
Right,
My
right.
point, it helped me actually stay with our exchange and then respond.
Yeah,
There are other directions that can help with that,
you're reacting to things in
so rather than me
responding in
being
the
in my
moment.
head and like, oh, okay, Robert said that, and I want to, you know, I'm not quite that bad, but you know.
Yeah, but that is the kind of thing I think we all tend to do.
Yeah.
I'm really guilty of that. Rehashing things, imagining things that are never going to happen. How would that
Oh,
play
yeah.
out? All the usual sort of, and I think what Alexander was getting at, and Eckhart Tolle was getting at, and I'm sure there are other traditions where this has come up. I think there's a term monkey mind in Buddhism, perhaps. I'm not, it's not my.
Yeah, that's kind of like all the mental
Just
chatter.
that we have this tendency as humans to want to fill, we're not always that comfortable with just being quiet. We want to fill it with some stuff. And I think Alexander would say, if you're thinking things that are totally useless and maybe harmful, then you're wasting this incredibly precious ability that you have, and that he felt sort of conscious, using your conscious brain to change the way you are, which is really what the Alexander technique is about. Using your conscious brain to tell the unconscious what it wants and then get out of the way. That he talks about that being a higher plane of being. He would be especially upset with wasting that mental energy and time when you could be do you could just as easily think a useful thought, or maybe just think no thought at all for a little while. Give yourself a rest.
I think that's useful too. I'm reminded with this direction, and it kind of applies to probably all negative directions, but Alexander's, I don't know the exact words, but when you stop doing the wrong thing, the right thing does
Thing takes
itself.
care of itself. Yeah, well, that is exactly what this is saying. Don't waste time thinking about stuff that's not taking you anywhere useful. It's just
And I
sad.
think for me, these I can know that that's not useful, but not know what to do to stop
Right.
the loop. And this could be something that helps with that.
Right.
And I'm
And
not saying that you're going to have to come back to it. It's not going to think it once and then you never think that.
well, and
Sort
that
of way.
gets to the question you said, what should I do about this? And I think Alexander would say, do something about it? No, you should not do anything about it, but you should redirect your thinking.
Yeah,
I mean,
which
that
is
is.
doing, and it's that idea of doing less, subtracting.
Yeah, he has a
But
in
it's
that.
even so, my question is more like, how do I subtract that thinking? How do I not.
Right. But I would
And so
say
that's
that the
what this.
question is not so much how would I do this and that, is what thought can I put out there that will enable my unconscious brain, which is going to have to deal with this. My unconscious nervous system is the one that's going to have to actually do the work, the doing. My prefrontal cortex, the best thing for it to do is come up with the idea that it, the thought, and then step back, not do anything, not even have any expectations or, oh, yesterday when I thought it, I felt this sense of lightness, but right now I'm thinking it and I'm not feeling it. Whoa. A day has passed, times have changed, it'll be different
Yeah.
every time. To just be okay
Yeah.
with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always a
So
new moment.
that's all I got to say. I hope people will experiment and give us feedback on this, and we may have to do another podcast to
So
elaborate.
I have a question that just occurred to me. If you had no experience with the Alexander technique, I could see this being useful potentially in just helping calm your mental noise, if that makes sense. But would it help you with what we might think of more classically as Alexander technique in terms of our physical coordination and
Oh, I
use of
think so.
ourselves?
I think
I
it
mean,
covers it
for
all.
me, I
Yeah.
feel like it did, but I don't know, having been immersed in the Alexander technique for probably about 25 years now.
Well, for someone is watching this and listening to this, and they don't, they've never had an Alexander lesson, but there's some, they seem, they're intrigued. The best way to test stuff out is to use a direction for a short period of time and then deliberately throw it away or replace it with a nonsense direction, something like I'm purple or whatever, something that's not going to affect your quality of your movement or whatever.
Might make you laugh if you
Might
think I'm
make you laugh,
purple, and that
yeah.
will affect the quality of
Right,
your you
yeah.
yeah
Yeah.
so
But just
and
play
that
with it, and just the thing that's going to be the biggest challenge for you, if this is the first time you're doing this, is you might think of this direction, I'm not thinking anything, and you might notice some change, and that might be very a useful change, like I feel lighter or whatever. That's the time to just say, not now. I'll come back to that after the experiment. I'll do like 15 seconds of walking, say, with this thought, and then I'll use the nonsense and come back, maybe cycle through a couple of times. And then when the experiment's over, and we're talking very short experiments, half a minute kind of thing, then you could look back and say, wow, that's interesting. When I was thinking that thought, my footfalls were a little lighter, or something that would tell you that it's a useful direction. And then at some point, you don't have to keep doing those experiments. Once you kind of get that this is a useful thought, then just use it. And you don't need to even encounter an Alexander teacher to do that.
Indeed.
But I will say also, it could be pretty helpful to have some help from an Alexander teacher. I
Oh,
don't
and
want
like I
to.
said at the beginning of our conversation, I found it a useful add-on to other directions, so it could be helpful in that way. All
Well,
right.
we'll end the conversation on that note. My guest today has been Imogen Ragone, an Alexander teacher in Wilmington, Delaware. And I'll put a link to her site and to site about more information about the Alexander technique and a link to our previous talk, which was about 7 or 8 years ago, on recent developments in Alexander directing and maybe even one on how to do Alexander self-directing. So if you want to pursue that, there'll be stuff there for you to do. So Imogen, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. Very interesting conversation.
Oh, whoops.